Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Chi Alpha, Tosh and I personally were involved in Chi Alpha. We had an opportunity to meet Matthew. I have personally in a credentialing meeting and have been impressed with him and his character and his ministry and hearing what's been going on in ministry. And so we want to take this time today to hear directly from Matthew and his work in Chi Alpha. So Matthew, greet us, welcome to this meeting today, and talk to us about the ministry and this last year.
Yeah, certainly. Well, thank you, Pastor Doug and Vision Church, for giving me the opportunity to touch base with you and let you know everything that the Lord is doing in us and through us at Chi Alpha at the University of North Texas. And it's been a pleasure. I have been serving there, just as kind of a recap. I've been there since I was a student. 2004 was my freshman year, and I served 4 years there. Actually responded to the gospel there my freshman year and was so radically impacted by my experience in Chi Alpha and by what Jesus was doing in my life that I just felt like the Holy Spirit was prompting me to give back to the next generation of students that were coming behind me. So I apprenticed under my staff pastor and worked with him for six years until he asked me to take his seat and take over as the director. So for the past 6 years, I've been directing the ministry there. So what's really cool about UNT Chi Alpha is that I actually get to serve as a product of the ministry itself. And so that's a rare thing for a lot of Chi Alpha groups. But we have the privilege of serving the very campus that we grew up on. My wife and I both went to UNT, and we both get to serve there. And the Lord's been doing some really awesome things on campus over this past 2 or 3 years especially. You know, when COVID-19 hit, it shut our spring semester down pretty abruptly, canceled half of our mission trips, and sent all our students out of the dorms and back home. So we had to, just like you, continue to find innovative and creative ways to engage with our congregation, with our students. So we continue doing our virtual services, and we started doing virtual discipleship meetings, and that carried even through the summer. And we actually were able to create some new programming and new teaching opportunities that we had never even explored before because COVID gave us the opportunity to do that. And so we came into the fall semester, and our leaders were even more prepared than they probably would have been because they had had such a ongoing discipleship experience. And so this is a crazy thing that happened. We got to the fall semester, and university was very tight on what university organizations were going to be allowed to do. And so they basically said no university activity. University housing wasn't doing anything. The union wasn't doing anything. No organizations were granted access. But since we're a religious organization, we're allowed to have our services off campus. And we meet at a local Assembly of God church. And so we said, we're just going to go on campus and meet students. So we sent our students on campus, sitting in cafeterias and giving directions to classes. And we met a ton of students on campus. And it was pretty crazy because it's almost like the Lord parted the waters and cleared all the distractions away because we were the only thing happening, the only thing on campus. And so we had access to students that we probably would have never been able to engage in a normal year. So in spite of everything, this fall has been tremendous for us. We actually have grown in spite of everything this fall semester. And right now we're working through the process. We have about 30 students who are gearing up to do our student leadership onboarding for the next school year. And so we're already thinking ahead, but we, in the face of a global pandemic, we have actually seen the Lord multiply our efforts and give us favor on campus. And so we are thankful that despite everything, we still have a God who is uniquely involved in what is going on in our ministry and in our lives. One thing that I do want to give you kind of an update on, initially, what kind of prompted us to go on the initial tour and how we first got connected to Vision was we are launching into a 4-year plan that talks about 5 initiatives that we believe that the Lord wants to see happen over one generation of university students, 1 4-year period. And so those things are, we want to see 100 university student leaders that are reaching their own campus. And so we are multiplying our leaders year after year after year to grow up to 100, because 100 student leaders, every freshman on campus that comes on will have the opportunity to connect with a Bible-believing Christian. We want to establish a new Chi Alpha on a campus that doesn't have one. We've got our eyes on a target that we're working on. We're already assembling a team to set that up. We want to plant a church out of our university Chi Alpha to a community in Texas or elsewhere that doesn't have a active Bible-believing community there. So from our students, we're going to train them and develop them into ministers and build a team around them and send them out. We want to establish Texas Women's University as a sovereign campus. Right now, we're kind of working in this hybrid concept, but we believe the Lord's going to provide a team. And we're going to have two distinct organizations on both campuses. And then the fifth thing is something that I think we're probably approaching here pretty quickly, we're hopeful for, and that is that we are believing that the Lord's going to provide Chi Alpha at UNC and TWU with our very own ministry facility, our own building that we can operate as a ministry training center, an outreach center, and staff offices for us to mobilize out of to reach both of those campuses. And so we're approaching that. And right now we're working through that. We're seeing the Lord begin to provide the finances necessary for us to be able to obtain our own building. We already have a building that we have our eye on that's for sale as a church that is vacant right now. And if we can just get the funds necessary, we can go and make that purchase, and we can have a home, not just for our university students, but for our future ministers who will come out of this ministry, and we'll be able to send them out. But we're just really excited. Just like every day, we see the Lord doing something new in a student's life or in the ministry as a whole. And we're just thankful that we get to be able to serve the Lord in this capacity. We really believe that the university campus is like a garden in which the future of our Christian leadership is going to grow from. And it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to be a part of it. So we want to thank you, Vision Church, for being a part of who we are. And we wouldn't be here if not for your support and for your investment. You're making an eternal impact in the lives of our university students. Thank you.
Hey, Vision Church. I'm Andrew Youngblood. My wife, Alicia, and I, she sends her greetings. We just had our third kiddo, a baby boy named Judah. And so she's juggling three kids right now. But, man, we're so excited to be with you at your missions convention. And just want to know that we're so grateful for the ways that you've invested in us in the past to pray for us. God has been doing incredible things through Chi Alpha at TCU. Go Frogs, and we are so honored to be your missionaries to TCU. Obviously, this last year has been insane in so many ways for so many of us, but I can tell you that this pandemic did not take God by surprise, and we have had some of the most fruitful seasons of ministry throughout the course of this past year. This fall, we had so many different restrictions and things like that on campus. We couldn't do our large group worship services. We could only do our small groups. And we had to, you know, so many students stayed home and studied virtually. But God is still moving. He's still working. So, for example, we had a girl who's a brand new freshman to TCU, but all of her classes were online, so she didn't come. She studied from home, got plugged in with Chi Alpha through Instagram, found out about us, joined a life group. She's very apprehensive, but we have a life group of girls that's just virtual. She joins a life group. She's apprehensive and scared, but she gets plugged in, and she hasn't missed a week. She's been plugged in, and the incredible thing is she's apprehensive about God, apprehensive about virtual life groups. She's been growing in her faith. She didn't have a Bible of her own, so the girls in this virtual life group from all over the country pulled their money together, bought her a Bible, had her name inscribed on it, and sent it to her, and she's able to have her own personal physical Bible for the first time in her life. And God is doing amazing things. We've had students that have joined our virtual worship service that have just logged on randomly and said, God's moving. I'm feeling and sensing that I need to reconnect with him. And they've got on the chat with us and talked, and we've prayed with them, and they've got plugged into our life groups on campus. So God is moving. He is not limited by what's happening in our world. And you guys know we're all about discipleship. And so even though our large group worship services have been changed, we've been able to still meet in our small groups, still meet in our life groups, still meet one-on-one with students and see – because of all of the distractions, because they limit the number of people that can go to football games, and they limit the number of events on campus, we've had deeper, more lasting relationships with students. I've had guys from Portland, Oregon, who they've come in to TCU. They were the only Christian at their high school, but they come in, they get plugged into Chi Alpha, they're growing in their faith, they're reading the Bible every day for the first time in their life. Like, God is moving, and you guys are a part of that. We're so grateful, Vision Church, that you've invested in us, that you pray for us in the midst of all of that's going on. God is advancing his kingdom. And the beautiful thing, and this is what we love about Chi Alpha, is one day these students are going to graduate. They're going to go out into our nation, and they're going to shape the world. They're going to shape our nation. They're going to shape the world. And you guys are a part of helping us do that in Chi Alpha. So Vision Church, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you do. We cannot wait to see you again in person, hopefully very soon. Please keep giving to missions, keep encouraging missionaries, because you're changing the world. Thank you.
Hey, Vision Church, we're the Newmans, your missionaries in Scotland, Brandon Newman and Melissa.
Hi.
Well, we just wanted to send you a quick video update to let you know what's been going on in Scotland. And God's done some incredible, incredible things during this last term. We launched and planted Life Church Glasgow out of a fitness center, which we told you guys about while we were itinerating, probably about 6 years ago, I think it was now. And through that church plant, man, God has just propelled us into what we're doing now and what we're going to be doing when we go back. From that church plant, we were contacted by an individual, Scottish individual, who oversees or is the national director for professional sports chaplaincy. He asked us if we would be willing to serve as chaplains at one of the professional soccer teams, or football teams, they call it, in Scotland. And we prayed about it, and then it just lined up perfectly with what God was leading us to do there at the gym, the fitness center. And so we served as chaplains there. Then he asked us to oversee the entire League One of the Scottish Professional Football League. Then he moved us to a larger team. And then finally, he has recently moved us to be the first chaplains at a professional basketball team in Scotland. And now he has commissioned us to establish sports chaplaincy in all of professional Scottish basketball and the British Basketball League. And now what we'll be doing, we're actually back in America now for itineration. The coronavirus, we ran into some visa issues a few months back, and so we actually had to return a little earlier than we were hoping to. But man, God has been so great and keeping our family safe during this time. And so when we go back to Scotland, that's when we'll be establishing sports chaplaincy in all of British or Scottish professional basketball. So we're really, really excited about that. On a personal note, we have some exciting news. Our oldest daughter, Haley, has recently gotten engaged to a young man named Drew, an absolute great, great guy. We're so happy for that. Lexi's doing wonderful. She's now 11. And so she's in school and just loving life and doing all that she does. And God has just blessed us so much. We're so grateful to you. Honestly, without you, there's no way we could do what we've been doing in Scotland. And there's no way we'd be able to go back and do what we just shared with you, establishing the sports chaplaincy ministry and professional Scottish basketball and continuing our church planting efforts. Like I said, we're back here in America. And so hopefully we'll be able to see you guys in person in 2021. But we pray you have a great day. Thank you so much again, Vision Church. We love you. We pray for you. And we will hopefully see you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hey, Vision Church. It's so good to be with you this morning. All the way from Durban, South Africa, my family and I are so thankful for your support and everything that you guys have done for us as we've been here in Durban now over 3 years. And you guys have been faithful supporters this entire time. Since we got here, we were part of a team that launched North Place Church Durban. And it grew from a Bible study in a home, and now it's a church that's having two services weekly and online because of COVID, just like you guys. Social distancing at church, we social distance as well. And this year has been a year to remember, right? We don't like to forget it, but instead we're going to remember it and tell our children and our grandchildren what happened in 2019 and how they don't have it as rough as we did back then. Let's be honest. We're going to have those stories, right? But this is the year that God started out doing great things. In February this year, we had our two-year birthday party as a church, and we baptized 11 people, and then COVID happened, right? So we shut down. We went completely online, much like many of you, and that was a huge part. My role shifted here in Durbin to where I was editing the videos. I was doing all that. We come back with regulations, with social distancing. South Africa went into complete hard lockdown this year where you weren't allowed to leave your house or your apartment unless it was an emergency or you were grocery shopping. So we like everybody else, we shifted and believed that God was going to do something anyhow. And when we came back later this year, we were able to continue online ministry. So we've set up a studio. I'm sitting in our online office room area right now doing this. And we live broadcast our services, both services, every Sunday. Again, just like you guys do. And God has done an amazing thing. It's become the front door of the church. People are now coming to our church because they watched our church online during COVID, and they've watched our church and been a part of our church online. Even around the world, you guys, again, you understand this. It's the same thing that you guys have done, we've done, and you guys have been a part of that and helping us set this up. Seeing salvation still, seeing people's lives change, it's been an amazing time. It's been a challenging time like everybody else, and you guys are a part of it and supporting our family. My wife, she's our children's pastor here. We were doing online children's ministry. Our kids have been involved. Actually, this morning, my wife is leading worship, and my daughter is playing the keyboard. So it's been an amazing time, and thank you again so much for everything that you guys have given us and done to support us here in Durbin.
Hello, Vision Church. I'm Steve, and this is my wife, Elizabeth Skipper, and we're just blessed to be able to come to you and greet you today at your missions convention. We know that God is doing a tremendous work in your midst and that God is using you and your pastors, Doug and Tasha, to take this church forward into great harvest and see this world one to Jesus Christ. We're just so blessed to be your representatives, your hands extended to the nations. We are appointed evangelists underneath the Assemblies of God World Missions Department. We have been serving in missions now for almost 35, 34 years and traveling around this world, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. On your behalf, this church has been a church that has stood with us and prayed for us, and we're just so blessed to have partners in ministry that believe in what we're doing and stand and hold our hands up as we go forth into the harvest. Not too long ago, we were in Madagascar preaching the gospel. We were there helping some missionaries that had just planted some new churches, and there were seven new church plants, and they didn't have places yet to meet. The churches were struggling, and so we went in and decided, well, since they don't even have places where we can preach, we'll just go out to the streets. And so I began preaching on the streets, literally with cars passing by and carts and motorcycles and people, and little handful of church people would get up and sing, and then I'd preach the gospel. And when we preached, over 300 people came forward and received Jesus Christ right in the middle of the street. And they then started inviting us into their homes. And one of the first homes we went into was where they said that there was a young woman. My wife went in first, and they said she was sick. It was just a very simple home. Madagascar is one of the poorest nations in the world, and just a little dirt floor, inner city, tin roof dwelling, and feces and sewage everywhere, and animals everywhere. And went into that little place, and my wife went right up to the woman. Wasn't room except for just me and her and the pastor and the interpreter. Missionaries actually stayed outside. And so we went and we walked up, and my wife immediately began to pray for her. And as she prayed for her, the power of God just came into that place. And all of a sudden, I heard this sound behind me. and I thought it was the missionaries back there praying. I thought, well, we're going to have church today because they're back there praying. And then all of a sudden I got kicked in the back, and I realized something else was going on, and I turned around. And when I turned around, I saw that the problem in that house was not the sick daughter, but the demon-possessed mother. We immediately cast the devil out of her. She fell out on the floor and got up, and the power of God had freed her miraculously. The interpreter's eyes were about this big, and I realized he was one of those people that needed a touch of God as well. And when we got back to the church, he had gotten on the phone. He had called everybody, and there were people waiting, and revival broke out. Why? Because you're giving, because you're praying, because you're standing with us. We are emptying hell and filling heaven for the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Vision Church. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Pastor. You guys are doing a tremendous work, and we're just so blessed to be your representatives today. God bless you. In Jesus' name, keep up the good work.
Amen. Thank you.
Hello, Vision Church. I am so honored to be here with you because you've been our longtime supporters. And I want to give you a little bit of an update what we are doing in Moldova. We together with Vision Church. You know, for the past 5 years, we've been involved with the university students. And we are attracting people, students, young Moldovans that would never walk into an evangelical church. That means they would never have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And the way we attract them, it's very, very unorthodox. We try to create different opportunities for them to come and either learn English. We invest in them in other ways, and we call them connecting clubs. So we have all these clubs in a center, in a building, very close to the universities because the government will not allow us to be on university campus. But that way, we attract students from all 20 universities from Moldova, which is about 300,000 students in the capital city. So after we attract them, they come in and we connect with them. And after about two or three visits, they would be so impressed and they would come to either I or to one of our leaders and say, "You people are so different. What is it about you?" And that's when we get to have the chance to share with them the gospel. And now, because we are connected, they're open. Because most of them would say, "I'm an atheist. Please do not tell me anything about God because I don't believe in God." So I want to share with you a story about Marcella. Marcella was raised in an Orthodox family. That's what 80% of Moldovans claim to be, a heritage or their religion would say is Orthodox, because they were raised in an Orthodox family. What that means is that their family was baptized, is part of an Orthodox church. And Marcella was too, but she never attended church. She has no idea who God is. She's just scared of God for different reasons, what the church is trying to motivate them to come to their church. So once we connected, she found out we're Christian. And she was not interested, but she was really connected with my wife, with Adriana, and she came over for a meal. And before we decided to have the meal, I asked Marcella if I could pray. So Marcella kind of hesitated, looked at me, but I told her, I said, "Look, I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to say a quick prayer. You can look at me. There's no magic. Just watch me, and after I'm done, we're just going to pray." So I closed my eyes quickly, thank God for the meal, and asked for the blessing. And then when I opened my eyes, Marcella was looking scared at me. And I said, "What's going on?" Marcella said, I never heard anybody like that pray. Where'd you learn to pray like that?" I said, "What do you mean learning?" She said, "Well, my grandmother has these books of prayers, and they're very long. And if you ever mess up one word, God is going to punish you." And I said, "Marcella, do you think God wants to hear your prayers being learned? And you think if you'd have a meeting with God, he would want to hear your memorized thing and then walk away?" And she goes, "No." Now, this is an example of how certain nations, certain cultures have an understanding about God. Now, there is about 30% of students that come to our center that have that image of God, and then the rest are atheists. We connect with these people, and once we're connected with them, we share Christ, and then we disciple them. And now we have about 60 people that worship together in our church in Moldova that you helped us plant. So we are so grateful for all of your support, for everything you do for us, for all of your prayers. And now what I would like for you to do is come and visit us. Come and see what we together are doing in Moldova.
Check 1, 2. Thank you. I'm just saying that's awesome to hear from our missionaries. When the first one came up, I found myself saying, man, those are great missionaries. Then the next one to come up, the young bloods, oh man, those are great missionaries. And then I ended up saying about all of them because they all are great missionaries. And thank you for partnering with them. And John Lungu, that's a sincere invitation. We were there actually last fall in November, and they're doing a great work in the capital city. Chisinau, Moldova. And so if you ever get a chance to go, Pastor Doug, it'd be awesome. I want to just talk to you about a faith promise. That's really the heart of what makes Assemblies of God Missions work. And then I'm going to tell you a story and I'll be done. Is that okay? So a faith promise. Let's talk about what a faith promise is. You have a form on your table that says faith promise giving. I believe this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I don't know of any other missions organization or denomination that does this. But the result of this has been that per capita, for any church organization our size, we far outgive per capita than anybody else. As a matter of fact, other mission organizations at times will reach out to us and say, how do you get your people to give so much to missions? And we say, we challenge them, and we challenge them to make a faith promise. You see, a faith promise is not a pledge. Sometimes we get them confused. A pledge is something you know you're obligated and you can fulfill. When you buy a car, you sign something, right? If you're going to borrow money, that's a pledge. The bank, they look at your income and your expenses, and they decide whether you can fulfill that pledge or not. You buy a house, it's the same thing. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? That's a pledge. A faith promise doesn't start with your budget. Let me say that again. A faith promise doesn't start with your budget. It starts with faith. And a faith promise is, instead of looking at your income and expenses and saying, well, I can give, maybe I could squeeze X number of dollars out for missions every month, a faith promise says, God, everything I have belongs to you. What do you want me to give? What do you want me to believe by faith to do, in this case, in 2021? Now, when I've done that, my wife and I have done that, it always takes our breath away a little bit because God believes we can do more than we think we can do. But you know what's amazing? Is that every time we've stepped out in faith, God has provided. It's amazing. And I don't mean just one time or two times. I mean for the last 30 years, God has always provided when we stepped out in faith to give to missions. Let me give you some practical things. Why you need to make a faith promise. First of all, it increases your faith. Secondly, it helps you grow. When your faith increases, you actually grow as a believer. It helps Vision Church plan. Pastor Doug and his team, they have ideas for 2021. There are new missionaries that are being called that need to be supported. There are new projects. There are things that you guys want to participate in. This helps Vision Church plan. When you make a faith promise, it enlarges the kingdom of God. Now, I can't tell you for every dollar you give it through a faith promise, X number of people come to Jesus. But what I can tell you is when you make a faith promise, souls get saved for the kingdom. They do. So our testimony is that God has always provided for us. I want to just tell you a true story. One of our missionaries, Del Tar, this is an account that he actually shared. He was a missionary in Africa. In sub-Saharan Africa, there's an area called the Sahel. S-A-H-E-L, Sahel. It's not a bad word, although it sounds like it. It's not. And in that part, it's very dry most of the year. As a matter of fact, when it's dry, the wind will come down across the Sahara Desert and pick up this sand and throw it thousands and thousands of feet into the sky. I've actually had the opportunity to see that, and it scared me, to be honest with you. We were flying into Africa, coming in, landing just before we went on to Ivory Coast. And when we looked out the window, you couldn't see anything except this red cloud. And I'm thinking, what's that going to do to the jet engines? Because I know it's sand. What's that going to do? Well, that settles all across this area called the Sahel. As a matter of fact, that sand and that grit get into everything. Is anybody here from West Texas? I grew up north of Amarillo, and the wind blows all the time. You know, you've heard the story. The only thing between the panhandle of Texas and the North Pole is a barbed wire fence. And it's blown over most of the time. So the wind blows all the time. When you have a picnic, dirt is just on the menu because it gets in your food, it gets in your mouth. And that's the way this is in Africa, the Sahel. All of the rain comes in May, June, and July. 3 months, that's it. After those 3 months, not a drop of rain falls for the next 9 months. So that means these people, and this is rural, somewhat primitive area, they have to grow all their food in those 3 months. And they grow a type of sorghum and a type of meal. And what they do is they take it and they'll put it with some boiling water. It makes these little sticky balls, kind of like a sticky ball of rice. And they'll dip it in little sauces that they've made. It's starchy, very starchy. And it makes the children sleep really well. So you know, right after the month of August, September, October, after they've harvested their fields, there's plenty of food, and everyone is having three meals a day. But when November and December come, the food supplies begin to recede, and so most families go to two meals a day. And then by February and March, there's only one in 50 families that's having more than one meal a day. And he said, though, really, April is the month that haunts his memory. You see, April is really right before the rains come again, and most of the food is gone, and it's quiet because there's no vehicles, there's no traffic, there's no urban noise. And he says, you begin to hear the children cry at night out of hunger, trying to go to sleep. He said, then invariably this happens. A young boy goes out to where dad keeps his tools and stuff, and he's playing around, and he comes running to his dad, and he says, Daddy, 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 I found grain. What do you mean, son? We haven't had grain to eat for weeks and weeks now. No, Daddy, out where your tools are. There's a bag. I reached my hand up in that bag, and there's grain. Give it to Mommy so she can fix it, so we can eat and our tummies are full. And that father gets down on his knees, looks his son in the face and said, son, we can't do that. Why not, Daddy? Daddy, we're so hungry. Don't you hear us crying at night? We're so hungry. I know, son, but we can't do that. Why not, Daddy? Because that's the seed for next year's harvest. If we consume the seed, son, there'll be nothing for the harvest. And then, a couple of weeks after that, that father will do the most really unreasonable thing to most people. He takes that precious seed that would have fed his family, and he takes and begins to cast it into that old red soil by faith, expecting the rains to come and multiply that seed for another years of harvest. And I tell you, I think one of the greatest challenges in the American church is we're consuming most of the seed. And instead of putting it back, instead of putting it into missions, instead of putting it into the kingdom, we keep consuming it ourselves so that the harvest is either not ready or it's not as great as it could be. Now, I don't tell you that story to make anyone feel guilty at all. But there is a sacrifice to giving in the kingdom of God. How many of you know it's okay to sacrifice for the Lord, isn't it? It certainly is. So when I asked you to take that card right now and just look at it for a moment, would everyone just take that card? Even if you've already filled it out, I hope you haven't. Well, actually, maybe you're so full of faith you already did it. But in just a moment, I'm going to go over this card with you, and then I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And you'll see this faith promise. By the way, there is a QR code on the back, and those of you that are watching online, I don't know if you can scan that or not, but you can always reach out to the church. That QR code will connect you to some videos, Why We Give. This faith promise, as your faith promise is an agreement between you and God, it is understood that you may revise your promise at any time. You see, this helps the church plan, but ultimately it's between you and God. I can promise you, Pastor Doug's not going to write you a letter and say, hey, you made a faith promise to this, why didn't you fulfill it? You're not going to do that, are you, Pastor Doug? It's between you and God. No one's going to call you and ask you about it, but what is going to happen is you're going to hear more testimonies like you just heard. And they're going to celebrate what God has done through you. Can I just tell you, God can do more through you than you can imagine. God is limited not by His ability, but sometimes by our lack of faith of stepping out. So on this, it says that you can make a weekly faith promise if you choose to do that, or a monthly faith promise. And you check off which one of those you're going to make, weekly or monthly. And it also says there's a place for this as a new faith promise. Maybe you haven't done this before. Or it's a renewing of a faith promise. Maybe you've done this for multiple years and now you're doing it once again. Then there's a place to put the amount. You put your name and address. You sign it. And then there's this little portion that you record what you're going to do and you separate that. You keep that portion. And I'm going to keep that portion. And I'm going to turn this portion in that I filled out. That's what we're challenging you to do. And I want to pray. And here's what I want you to do. Rather than make a faith promise based on what you think your financial ability is, I want you just to pause for a moment and say, Lord, what would you have me to step out in faith? What amount would you want me to believe for? And here's the thing. If God doesn't provide, you're under no obligation. But can I tell you, if you step out in faith, God will meet you and He will provide. Let's pray. Father, take that card and hold it in your hand. Father, I thank you for every family unit here, every individual here, every person here. Lord, we recognize that everything we have belongs to you. Nothing we have can we say this is ours. It's all yours. And we are simply stewards. And right now, we're taking this moment because there is a promise, but there's a problem, but there's also a plan. Promise of the nations that will be your inheritance. The problem is there's so many that are waiting to hear, but your plan is to call and send. And you'll do that through these faith promises to partner with those that you're calling. Lord, I pray that the level of faith would increase right now. Lord, for those that had an amount in their mind, the Holy Spirit's beginning to speak to them, and their heart rate may be becoming a little bit elevated because they're getting ready to step out in faith. Maybe they're going to do what they've never done before. And they're going to believe you to provide as you never have before. And Lord, we declare that we do it all as an act of worship. We do it all as an act of obedience. And we do it all for your glory. Lord, help us. By making these faith promises, we are choosing to consume less of the seed and sowing more into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you again, Brother Kermit. It's been a pleasure to have you with us today. We've enjoyed a wonderful Spring Creek barbecue meal. There's some leftovers that are going to be going home with some people. But I do want to sign off with you that are watching online. Here at the church, you're going to find that faith promise card, and you're going to find it in a booklet, and it's going to be in the front lobby, and you can avail yourself of that, fill that out, and drop that in. Today, we're going to be collecting that which people have filled out already, but it's not too late for you to get involved. Remember, this is starting January, in the month of January 2021, working throughout the entire year of 2021, where our theme is compelled, that we can respond to that and give on a weekly basis or monthly basis to missions, and we can continue our support to missionaries, and who knows, maybe even expand and do a project, do something in 2021. Amen? Yes. And so those of you that are watching by at home, we don't want to have you feel left out. We don't have a way of you calling in and having a telethon. Besides, Jerry Lewis was busy this morning. I'll just let that percolate out through YouTube and Facebook land. And so we will have that here. Get those filled out. I will get a total put together, and then I'll announce it to the church as we get ready to go into 2021. We'll celebrate together and look forward to that. And with that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you all of you that have come. Thank you for those that have tuned in. The Lord bless you. We will see you next time.